Genesis 3, 1-7. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will certainly not die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing both good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, she also desired, for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now on to Matthew 4, 1-11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him.
Thanks, Jason. I'd like to offer you a viewing, well, a projected photo anyway, of a painting, which will be put up in a minute. This painting is by English artist Stanley Spencer. And I'll just, when it comes up, I'll just pause for the moment while it comes up. I'm waiting for the, so that Zoom people can see as well. So I hope you can see that. It might be a little bit hard with the light on it, but Phil, do you just want to get to the next slide? It's got a bit more contrast there. This is a painting by English artist Stanley Spencer, and this one is called The Scorpion. It's the painter did a series of eight paintings called Christ in the Wilderness. And it's based on the scripture Jason read, Matthew 4, that we read today, where Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days. Stanley Spencer planned to do a series of 40 paintings for each of the days that Jesus was in the wilderness, but ended up only doing eight. And Stanley Spencer did these at a time of crisis in his life. He was on a wilderness journey himself and essentially homeless at the time. And this painting, along with others, seemed to want to capture Jesus relating in some way to the natural world. And it draws on parables and sayings throughout Jesus' life. And there's even another one with Jesus in the wilderness surrounded by foxes in their holes, so you can get the sort of thing he's drawing on. And he said, "I felt that because you have not anything much in the actual life in the wilderness, except the temptation, that one has an excuse for imagining what his life might have been like." And hence this one, Jesus cradling a scorpion. Now, there's a few things that stand out in this painting. First of all, this billowing, what would you call it, robe or shirt that Jesus is wearing. It's almost like a parachute. Maybe it depicts the barrenness and the hunger and the weakness of Jesus sort of rolling around in this big shirt. There are scorpions. There's two of them in the picture. There's one in his hand and the other one at his foot. You can just see that one down the bottom. And Jesus holds a scorpion in his hand and his hand's swollen. So it indicates that maybe the scorpion has bitten Jesus, stung him, yet he goes on gently holding it. And of course, there's the barren wilderness in the background as well. And it's good to note that Spencer served in the First World War in Macedonia. So his paintings sort of bring out this scarred landscape of his experiences in World War I. And it's interesting to note that these paintings were painted at the start of outbreak of World War II. Then the other thing in this painting is Jesus faced. He's famished, tired, hungry, but you've got this sense of him being cared for and caring, gently cradling the scorpion. And Spencer made it clear that when he painted this painting, he identified with Christ because he imagined this homelessness that Christ was going through in the wilderness to his homelessness. And he says, "I did 40 little squares and I filled in as many as I could with how Christ may have spent each day. The great adventure all by himself with leaves and trees and mud and rabbits and rocks, just as I was having among my wilderness of two chairs, a bed, a fireplace and a table." So the wilderness can be a desert or the wilderness can be simply being at home, as he's saying. We'll have communion soon, and here in this painting, Jesus' hands are open, almost offering himself to us. So I'll just leave this picture up for reflection. I don't know if I can leave it up, can I, Phil, with the Zoom people? But we can leave it up there for a while. Today's the first Sunday in Lent, or Easter preparation, as Ruth mentioned. It spans for 40 days, and it started on Wednesday, and it ends at the start of Holy Week, which is the week in which Jesus goes through the trial, his crucifixion, and, of course, the resurrection. 40 days, we've been through this before. 40 is heavily drawn upon in the Bible as an important number. And I'll let you look up all the references to 40 later on if you like. But 40 essentially means a sufficient time for whatever needs to take place to take place. A sufficient time, as Mary said in her children's story, to grasp or understand or consider the mystery of Jesus' death and resurrection. So, what are we invited to participate during these 40 days? And why do we start with a wilderness? This wilderness story. Well, there's two basic invitations for you and I in this time of Lent. The first one is to probe into our human condition, our wildernesses, our lostness, our brokenness, our failures. And the second invitation is to equally consider the new possibilities offered to us in Jesus and the practical implications for our lives. So I'd just like to quickly go through these two invitations, to probe into our human condition and the new possibilities offered to us. Considering these two passages that we read, Genesis 3 and Matthew 4, we start acknowledging an external source of evil. The serpent in Genesis 3, and the tempter, or the devil, in Matthew 4. That is, there's ways of seeing God, there's ways of seeing this world that are not of God. And yet they still drive us, they affect us, they shape us, they change our thinking, and they distort us and distort the way we see God. And Jesus, led by the Holy Spirit, goes into the wilderness to confront this external source of evil, which distorts. Or you could say this external source of lies. Jesus goes into the wilderness to confront it. And this touches on the first point as we probe into this human condition. Jesus is tempted by these lies, or these desires, these lies that shape us, just as they shape him, or they affect him as well. What we experience, Jesus experiences as well. He's not some sort of superhuman which goes into the wilderness and confronts evil. He experiences these things and we experience these things. These temptations or desires that are presented to him are desires or temptations that are presented to us. And I'll just go quickly through these three temptations. The first desire is to be self-sufficient. Turn the stones into bread. Be self-sufficient. The second desire is to be shown that we matter, that we are special, that we are something superior, and to be certain about it. Throw yourself off this building and let God show you that he'll catch you. And the third desire is to follow God without having to pay the cost, to be perceived as a God follower without having to change or cost us something. And when you look at all these desires or temptations, they're all got to do with Satan trying to separate Jesus from his Father, sort of wedge in a bit of mistrust and start this self-sufficiency, which are temptations to us as well. These lies try to wedge in mistrust between ourselves and God. And as these things shape our thinking, shape the way we do things, and as it's revealed to us, it can be quite painful and unsettling. And when birthed in us, they lead to this sense of failure, error, brokenness, missteps, and it can be confronting. But I'd just like to digress for a moment, because I just want to put a story before you where my body failed me once and was error and was broken. It was 21 years ago. I was playing competition touch football. I was just on a grass sports field on a bayside suburb in Melbourne. 21 years ago, that's a long time ago, isn't it? Anyway, our team was defending the try line, and the opposition team, the opposing team, the offensive team, were running forward to try to score a try. And I saw a set move in playing, in train. And so I rushed forward to try to cut this set move off. I went fast to this opposition player who had the ball, and he saw me coming and went even faster and passed the ball before I could touch him. He jumped, flew through the air, and the problem was that he was a Pacifica lad. And he careered right into my outstretched and planted leg and into my knee. A mate 60 metres away told me that he heard a snap. Anyway, to cut the story short, I went to hospital, had x-rays, scans on my knee. Doctors and physios concluded that I tore my ACL and my anterior cruciate ligament, and I was in a moon boot over my knee and my leg. And then the physio told me to get ready for surgery in a few weeks' time. You have to strengthen your leg, get it ready. So I was doing these lunges, and I could still walk and drive and everything. It was just the knee was enclosed in the moon boot. But something wasn't quite right. I would do these lunges. I would use my muscles on my leg to strengthen up before the operation. I would do some massaging. But there was this grinding and cracking in my leg below my knee. So I took myself back to hospital 3 weeks later and asked the doctors to x-ray my leg. And they x-rayed my knee before, but not my leg. And the doctor, and I said, I think I've got a broken bone in my leg. And the doctor laughed at me and said, look, I don't believe you're right, but we'll just do it for your own peace of mind. Anyway, the x-ray was done. The doctor came back about half an hour later with the photos, or the whatever they're called now, when they used to give you plastic things. And he was quite apologetic. And he said, "You've got a broken leg bone. In fact, not just broken, it's shattered. No wonder you felt cracking and things when you're walking." So, I'll come back to this story later, but so the first point of this journey in Lent is that it invites us in to consider our brokenness, our failures, our errors, and consider it in the lives with others. What wilderness wanderings and desert dryness might inhabit your life right now in your human condition? What failures, brokenness might inhabit your life? Have you felt God was far away as you might be far away in a desert? I know you probably have felt this. I've felt this. Failed at many things. Continue to do. And as your pastor, you have the front row seats of that. But if you felt the same, I can tell you God understands. God knows that we go through these desert dryness times, these times of brokenness and failure. He knows we'll go through periods of doubt. He knows about our state and condition because Jesus goes there into the wilderness on our behalf to experience these temptations of desires that distort us. This is the first part of our Lenten journey, to probe into our human condition, to see these errors in us, these wayward ways. The second part, the invitation in Lent, and I'll come back to my broken bone, is the sort of the joy in knowing that things don't go right in us. I know when I found out my leg was broken, it was such a relief. It was good. Oh, is that what's going wrong? And now I could just leave it to the doctors and the physio and my body to heal. I could just rest in it and do nothing and let the bone mend. And similarly, in Lent, in our wilderness condition, we bring it to the light of Christ, our healer, our Redeemer, the one who takes our brokenness and heals it. Just like it was good to let that know, suddenly know that my leg was broken, I can just let the doctors take control of it. And as I said, the good news is that Jesus went to the wilderness for us. He went to the desert to defeat the lies on our behalf. Lies that don't lay hold of us, because Jesus has been there. So it's at this time of the year that, in this time of the 40 days, we're invited to let God x-ray us, to find those wilderness and desert dryness places in us, to submit to his desire to diagnose us and fill us with the fresh water of his Holy Spirit and heal us, mend us. Jesus goes to the desert places for us, confronts the evil for us, and like a doctor, diagnoses and fixes us. If you have a broken leg, you go to the hospital and wait. Depends how busy the hospital is. But for us in Lent, it might mean going to places like Psalm 51, for example, and prayerfully waiting, probing our condition and letting God into those places so that he can heal us and come in and make us anew. It might mean prayerfully reading a devotional over this season. Most of them have 40 days or 40 pages or something like that. So that something like Psalms 51 verse 7 comes about. It says, "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, God, you will not despise." And the wonderful thing about this season is there's this wonderful asymmetry here. God's power to put things right and heal us totally outweighs and covers the lies and the evil that distorts us. He is able to do for us what we can't do for ourselves. He is the one that goes into the desert, confronts those periods of dryness, the failures in us, and brings us out. He's the one that goes in there. He defeats the lies on our behalf. He takes the bite and he makes all things new. So Christ, as we refer to the painting, takes on the bite of the scorpion and offers himself to us as the healer. And before we partake in communion, I'd like to invite the band up and the singers to come forward and lead us in Bread of Heaven. And then I'll invite you to come forward and take the bread and the wine.